Okay.
It's good to be here. Welcome all the people who are watching online. My name is Victor, as Dave said. Last week I was having the birthday, so yeah, I really enjoyed that. Thank you for my family to be there for me. It was a good day. It's a remembrance for those days, you know. So I just want to say thank you to all the people who wish me well. Just was a little boy when I grew up. I used to create like a small, you know, a small little group of kids. So we used to paint ourselves and look like the big men, you know. So I remember those times I used to paint myself like, look like Bia, got Bia. So people, they can call me father, you know. But when time comes now, I see myself that the Bia is just coming out itself. And also, I remember one day I was working another house, and the little boy, he passed and looked, and he was looking at me. So I said, what's going on? And then he ran away, and then he go to his father, and he told his father that, please, can you cut me my hair? I want to look like Victor. So the father like, no, I can't. So I said, please, cut me the hair. I want to look like Victor. Then he started crying until the mother come out from the room, say, what's going on? He said, my daddy doesn't want to cut me my hair. I want to look like Victor. Ah! The child is crying. He walk around, he cried. So for me, I feel so sad. It was like, this child, he doesn't know that these things just coming, I mean, natural. When you grow older, it comes, the hair is peeling out, and, you know. I just listened to my wife was checking on me, and he said, oh, look, the white hair is coming. Eh? So these are the things that coming up when you add up this birthday, when it comes, the birthdays, and, you know, it comes naturally. So that's why today my message, I call it Grow to Spiritual Maturity, Christian Disciple. We are going to discover how we can grow as a disciple, a bold servant of Jesus. We want to learn how to be more useful to the master. And God created us for purpose. When we believe in Jesus, we begin a journey to fulfill that plan and purpose. So let's think about the physical growth for a minute. Physical growth, it starts a little child, you know, and then you keep on growing. And to be adult, you go to school and you learn. You learn how to talk, you know, all of those things. So the baby becomes the child and it begins its education and it continues to learn how to grow. The child becomes mature adult and become productive part of our societies. So the same way, when the person becomes a believer in Jesus, the Bible tells us that they are born again and saved. So the new believer, whether it's 80 or you are 90 or whatever year you might be, the spiritual life as a spiritual infant. So we start our life in spiritual as infant. So this new believer must experience a spiritual growth until they become a mature, a spiritual product, a disciple of Jesus. So what are the differences between baby and the mature adult? Both physically and spiritually. The baby, depending on others in many ways. And most constantly, be cared for. A baby isn't productive. It is primarily a taker rather than a giver. A mature adult, on the other hand, is dependent. He can take care of himself. The adult is contributor and can help the young ones. A mature adult is able to reproduce himself. So it comes when you grow now. You can recruit other ones. You can be participating in our societies in different ways just because you're growing now. So through physical growth is relatively automatic as a function of a time. In a spiritual growth, it's not automatic. So you see, even if I have to paint myself, but when I grow older, when I'm growing, when the birthdays are coming, these things is coming naturally. You see yourself, the hair peeling out, the hair changing out. It's just coming automatically. You don't ask for it. You can try whatever you can do or get the medicine, whatever, but you're still going to go there. But spiritual life is not automatic. Spiritual life is not automatic. So through physical growth, relatively automatic, as a fraction of time, spiritual growth is not automatic. Just because someone has been a believer for 10 years or 20 years does not mean that the spiritual maturity has been achieved. Spiritual maturity comes through learning and obedience. So as we learn about what God wants you to do, as you put to practice what you have learned in work or service, you grow to spiritual maturity. So you will no longer be spiritual infant. Discipleship is the process of growing to maturity. So let's learn how to grow in a spiritual maturity now. First point is prepare your mind for action. 1 Peter 1 verse 13. It says, therefore, prepare your mind for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when you, Jesus Christ, is revealed. So growing spiritual maturity is making a decision that you want to grow. These are the decisions that we make. So in other hand, you can decide to say, I don't want to grow. It's a choice that we can make. If you don't want to grow, it's not going to happen. We can decide to say, no, I don't want to grow. And there is a consequences about that. I don't know if you ever dream something maybe stuck you or hit you, and then you try to screaming, you know, but your voice, it doesn't sound like properly. Or maybe you're trying to pronounce Jesus, but you can't say clearly Jesus. I don't know if you ever had that dream. You know, so you're trying to push yourself, but you want to speak the word, but that word even, it can't be something that somebody can understand or can hear you. That's something that happens when that your spirit is a baby. Your spirit carries big Lord, that can't handle. That's why sometimes we can't manage to say it. It's the same way like a child. The child, when he's born, he can't just say daddy. He keep on learning, you know, daddy, little by little. And then you see it starting to pronounce it very well after some time. First Peter 1:14. As obedience children, do not conform to the envy desire you had when you live in ignorance. A child who wants to grow to maturity obey his parents. In this case, Heavenly Father. The word the world of believers around us is living in ignorance, slaves to envy, desires before we were saved. So we also were slaves to these desires. Now we are born servant of Jesus. So the world continues to try to squeeze us into this mood to conform to what everybody else is doing. So you want to grow into becoming a world changer, don't conform. Be nonconformist. Okay. So, a disciple is a follower. I want to make clear that a disciple is a follower who accepts and assists in spreading the doctrine of another. A Christian disciple is a person who accepts and assists the spreading of the good news of Jesus Christ. Christian discipleship is the process by which disciples grow in the Lord Jesus Christ and are equipped by the Holy Spirit who lays this in our heart to overcome the pleasures and the trial of the pleasant life and become more and more like Jesus. So this process requires believers to respond to the Holy Spirit prompting to examine their thought through the word and action and compare them with the word of God. This requires that we be in the word daily, studying it, praying over it, and obeying it. In addition, we should always be led to give testimony to the reasons for the hope of that is within us. You can find that in 1 Peter 3, verse 15. And disciple others to walk in his way according to scripture. Being in a Christian disciple involves a personal growth characterized by these ones now. First one, be holy in all we do. That is important one. 1 Peter 1, verse 15. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy, because I am holy. So what does it mean to be holy? To be holy is not just avoiding envy desires. To be holy is to be set apart for God's service. God is completely holy. There is no envy in him at all. He calls us to the same lifestyle, a lifestyle of commitment to his training program for your life. He wants you and I to be radically different than the world around us. So, a life of holiness will lead to dramatically spiritual growth. So now, where are we at now? Have you made that commitment yourself? Have we made this commitment to spiritual growth? God wants us. God wants you and me to prepare our mind for action, to become dissatisfied with where we are at spiritual and being, to seek him to help us to grow. So once you have made that commitment, the spiritual growth, God desire for us to set some new priorities in our life. That means that some of things we used to spend time on, we are going to stop it. Why? Because they move further from God, not closer to him. So second thing, God wants you to make some new priorities for your life. that will help you to grow in spiritual maturity. Wherever you are in your spiritual growth journey, God wants to take you deeper. Now let's look at one of the most important elements in a spiritual growth. Obey truth and God's word. 1 Peter 1:22. We're talking about Peter. It's about Peter. So I make sure that my message is coming from Peter, because I see that Peter is talking a lot of stuff. You must go and read this, Peter. If you can finish it all, because it's a small book. Now that you have purified yourself by obeying the truth, so that you have sincerely love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart. So God's word is essential components of a spiritual growth. God's word is the truth that combats the falsehood that is all around us. The truth of God's word is not just something to be learned. Knowing God's words is the first thing, but does not actually lead to spiritual growth. So spiritual growth happens as you choose to obey and apply God's words to your life, to my life, to everyone's life. If we apply those words, it will help us to grow. When you obey God's words, something about you, your thought and action will automatically change. Just like the same like in physical, you know, when you grow, it automatically it comes. You see yourself, something change. The things that maybe you used to do, it automatically change. The way you look, you can agree, some of you, that the way that you was looking, you know, 10 years ago, it was not the same. Some of you just having a small little hair, other ones they're growing big. Amen. So it comes. It's the same way with a spiritual life. There's a lot of things that can change. You can see yourself that you're changing. And even people around you, they can see it. They can sense it. The way you see human being, the way you see people outside there, the hungerness from your heart, you see it. People can see it. They can sense it, that something is going on. Even if you can just think how old I am, I don't even a child, maybe you can just think maybe you are 4th above or somewhere there. Nobody can say you are 12 years. Why? Because you can see that somebody's the hair is going down like this. I think it's somewhere there. So in this verse, it speaks of purifying yourself by obeying God's words. Obedience, it means to holiness, which we are already seeing is essential to growing to spiritual maturity. What truth is Peter talking about here now? Love one another deeply. Everyone who is believer has a sincere love for other believers. Here is Lifa, the brothers. Obviously, if you love someone, you want and need to be around them. That's why being part of a church family is not only essential to spiritual growth. It is a sign that someone actually is a believer. We are born again by God's word. In 1 Peter 1:23, it said, "For you have been born again, not a perishable seed, but a perishable through the living and enduring word of God." So God's word is seed of a truth that when accepted and believed, it caused the life of God to be birthed in the believer's heart. So in other words, believers are born again. So the first birth was the physical birth, and the second one, when you are born again. So when you choose to believe the truth of God's word and put your trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, so God's word both begins your spiritual life and it is essential to your subsequent spiritual growth. So how do you practically use God's words to grow in spiritual maturity? God's words shows a three main ways. So first of all, we need to read the Bible. That is very, very important, to read the Bible. I sometimes say, I clean here, I see someone left the Bible and we keep it thinking maybe it's going to come back again and ask for it. It stays, yes, you know, a month, yes, nobody asking about it, you know. So we need to learn to read the Bible because you can see that something is missing. You know, you go to the field with a tools and then you left it there. You can't even remember that you left something. So we need to practice to read the Bible every single day. Second thing, we need to learn from our leaders, our pastors, church families, someone who has committed their lives to studying and training others in the word of God. That will help you to learn and apply words for yourself and your family. You know, we have people here that they truly committed to God. So we need to look upon them. We need to see and learn from them. And third way to grow through God's word is to participate in our weekly life group, like house churches and V&V and some other groups that we need to participate. We need to go with them. We need to be part of that. These groups will get to discuss, asking questions, answers, and have accountabilities to others in the groups. Participating in all these ways of using God's ways is essential in growing spiritual maturity. 1 Peter 2:2, my last verse. Like a newborn baby, crave pure spirit milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. So crave means to long for, to deeply desire, to have great affection for what happens when a newborn baby is hungry for milk. He cry. They begin to cry. And if the milk doesn't come, they cry louder. He cried louder. The same way as a disciple of Jesus, we must crave the spirit of milk of God's words. We must desire it above the other things that take our time and rule us away from spending time and reading God's words daily basis. Amen. So it's very, very important that we need to crave, to cry, to search him every single day, to pray, to practice the word. When you hear the word, read it and practice it. It will help us to grow. Amen. So, wherever we go, God needs us, but we need to grow. If we can't grow, we won't be able to go through. There's a difficulty outside there that needs us to grow, to prepare ourselves. There's a lot of troubles. I was telling my wife, I said, look, I want to preach the gospel of Jesus. And I see that this is my first thing to do. You know, so you have to live in this. I'm not saying that we will find milk and honey. God never said that. So it depends with us how we grow in that. Because the more we position ourselves to grow, we will overcome no matter how problem it might be. Because there is a problem everywhere. There is a troubles everywhere. But how are we going to overcome that? We need to position ourselves by growing. I don't think that there is like other in Old Testament, Dev was even saying this morning, a lot of people that have been killed because of gospel. Just to think of ourselves, that if we are in that position, are we going to say, yes, I follow you, Jesus? It needs us to grow. Let's allow ourselves to grow. Let me pray. Father, we bless you. We thank you that you have spoken to us today. We're asking you, oh Lord, that to help us to grow in spiritual life. We position ourselves, Almighty God. We cry out to you louder today. We cry out louder tonight, Father, that you will help us to grow. We need to experience supernatural growth. Help us, Almighty God, this evening. We bless you, Almighty God. Thank you, Father, for being with us all this time. In Jesus' name.